Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey, here's one I haven't seen. This is from Todd. Subject line, Muhammad Ali. It says, Rick, even worse is the Linux ad featuring Muhammad Ali asking people to, wait for it, shake things up. See, you'd think that people would sort of give that a second pass before they put it on the airwaves for everyone to see. F-Matt with a tremor.
This F-Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Tremors, that's an underrated sci-fi film from the late 1980s. And it's got a Michael J. Fox connection because Michael Gross stars in it as well. It's the only good thing Reba McEntire has ever done, by the way. Movie Tremors, Kevin Bacon, giant worms in the ground. Only good thing Reba McEntire is ever going to do in her life. Reba McEntire should have just been tossed off a cliff or into a sewage pit or something after that movie because she was never going to... Was never going to do it. I don't know if you heard this, but Reba McEntire has... She's been completely missing from the set of Reba, the sitcom on the WB. She's been... Which doesn't really, like, affect any of us because we've got brains and therefore aren't ever going to watch the show. The WB... Let me just say... And it's... I'd like to thank them, by the way, for simultaneously purchasing ad time here so I can talk about their lineup and then starting to cancel everything that's good, leaving me only Reba to talk about. It's just sort of a shell game, you know what I mean? I can pick up the newspaper and I don't know what's going to be on. Eventually, it'll just be Reba and, like, Seventh Heaven. And that's all I'm going to be able to talk about when it comes to the WB. No word on when. I think this is going to be the end of Angel. I think this season's going to be the last one. But I had some point I was going to make. Oh, yeah, so Reba McEntire, not that you care, but Reba McEntire apparently has just quit showing up to the set of her sitcom because, you know, she's claiming she has some illness, which, of course, just means a backhanded way of saying she wants to get paid more money. The only reason you care about this is because they're saying the WB is going to have to cave because Reba is, wait for it, the highest-rated show on the entire network. The next time you need something in your back pocket to pull out that demonstrates the stupidity of the American people and you've used Clay Aiken too many times already in the conversation, you can reference that, my friend. The Reba sitcom, which is not only the worst sitcom ever to grace television, it's probably the worst thing in the history of humankind. I mean, I know that we've had, you know, genocide and, you know, scabies and whatnot, but Reba's worse than all of that, man.
We got a song coming up later that can give you a while.
Reba. Oh, yeah, coming up. That's good segue, Matt Peterson. Yeah, coming up this hour. Coming up this hour, we got another exciting edition of Rick Emerson's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. We're getting requests to play more Wing. We may or may not actually do that. Also this, we've got Rick, It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard is the best segment of your show, ever. If all you did was play a continuous loop of the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins every day as sung by Leonard Nimoy, I'd still listen. That rap song by Dee Dee Ramone was pretty good, too. Anyway, this is from Jeff, who hooked us up with today's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard, which we'll get to later on. Also coming up this hour, Jolie from the front desk with another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. Later on in the third hour of the show, we have today's top five. Top five songs with Move or Moving in the title in honor of this, our last week in the building. Clyde Lewis is going to be with News at Ground Zero as well. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom as your day continues. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. This is Tim Riley.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Researchers at OHSU are trying to find a way to treat hot flashes in men. Women frequently suffer from the uncomfortable sensation during menopause, but men can still suffer from hot flashes too, at least during treatment for prostate cancer. Hot flashes result from a decrease in testosterone, a hormone that both men and women have, just in different amounts. The lack of testosterone tricks the part of the brain that serves as the body's thermostat into thinking the body is overheated. Don't fall for it. Luella Carlson says her birthday this week is a wonderful reminder that she has many friends, even though she just turned 106. You heard right. Six generations of her family helped Carlton celebrate yesterday in Salem at a big dinner at Caruso's Italian Cafe. One of the big surprises was the appearance of her son, grandson, great-grandson, great-great-great-grandson, ranging in age from 76 to just 2 years old.
I have never once seen a... You know, I don't mean to sound callous about this, but it's funny how old people simultaneously I mean, I'll probably be the same once I get old. I mean, God will probably make it three times as bad for me because of all my disparaging comments about the elderly. But it's funny how you run into old people, and it's like, on the one hand, they just hate everything about their life, everything about today, everything about you kids, everything about the music, everything about the way people dress, everything about television, and they all want red buttons to come back. But on the other hand, you've never met a group of people that fight harder to hang on to just like every moment of an existence that they so clearly hate. Old people hate two things, life and the idea of not having it anymore. You know what I mean? You talk to an old, how are you? Well, I don't know. They've got a colored girl taking care of me now. And you're like, Grandma, you can't. What are you? Did you ever do that, Joey? You're talking to your old, you know, like your old relatives, and they just say something that's completely. So, God, I remember my grandfather was living in the. Well, he died last year, you know, thank God. But I mean, he was living in the Silverton, which is not too far from here. And it's like you go to visit him, and then it's like he was old and, you know, couldn't really take care of himself all that well, and the family didn't have the resources to, you know, they had jobs and stuff. So they got somebody, they hired a nurse to take care of him. And it's, you know, so I go to visit him, you know, I got to do that once a year thing where you pop into the Grandpa, how are you? I don't like this Mexican woman they brought to take care of me. They're all thieves. And you're like, Grandpa, ixnay on the, you can't, you know, and they're just constantly complaining about everything. Can't stand anything about the way the world is going, but just, you know, but just fighting tooth and nail just to live for like another 5 minutes so they can complain about Bill Clinton. So, all right. I forget what we were talking about.
How about this for nutty things? Flyers being passed out of Vancouver urge whites to avoid having sex with blacks. It says, don't have sex with blacks, avoid AIDS. Apparently, this is from some white supremacist organization. And
well, if you live in Vancouver, you're not really running the risk of doing that anyway, it seems to me. But, yeah. You know, what are you going to do?
The National Alliance.
Okay.
Which apparently is in Vancouver. How silly that could be.
You know, can I just tell you this? And this is not really like breaking news. I mean, I'm only like the 9 millionth person to make this observation. But, you know, it's just every time you see somebody, it's like these Republican guys yesterday, these college kids, these young Republicans who think that they're being witty and clever and groundbreaking by, you know, by they have this sort of attention-getting stunt where they were offering a scholarship to whites only, which they do because it gets media attention and it lets them get on a platform and, you know, lecture people who don't really care about whatever they have to say about affirmative action. You know, it's all fear of the black penis. That's what it is. And I'm not saying that to be flip. I mean, it's all based on that. That's what it is. All of the things of this nature, you know, people who sit there and they will lecture you endlessly and pointlessly, like ad infinitum about, you know, so-called reverse discrimination and about, you know, and here's something else we don't need to have anymore. I don't need to have white people going on and on and on lecturing me about how they don't like political correctness in the workplace, when what that really means for most people is that they're not allowed to use racial slurs and grab the secretary's boobs anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there is, you know, there are things in society that actually need to be changed. There are people who are overly sensitive, but the vast majority of those people are just folks who are annoyed that they can't pinch their secretary's ass anymore, you know, and that they can't tell, like, Mexican jokes around the water cooler. That's what it all comes down to. That and the fear that your white wife is going to leave you and go pork a black guy. That's what it all comes down to. Everything of this nature is just rooted in the fear that Republican guy has, that his girlfriend is going to be at a frat party and end up groping it up with some, you know, some black man in a corner somewhere. That's what that, it all stems from that. All fear of the hot black love. It's all from that.
Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
Just write it down. You make a note of it in case anybody asks you. Say, where do the problems in this world come from? You say, they come from fear of hot black love. It's where all bad things come from. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Which, again, if you want evidence of that, I mean, you all have old relatives, right? You all have grandparents that are this way. And the thing about grandparents, see, I'm not really sure whether people are becoming more open-minded and, you know, less bigoted. I like to think that they are. I'm not really sure that there's any evidence to demonstrate that. I mean, I think every generation sort of views themselves as being a lot better than previous generations. I mean, I think music has a lot to do with it. I think being part of the first, and this is one of the things that Generation Y kids are going to get really tired of hearing us talk about, but I'll tell you this right now. Being one of the, you know, being a kid that sort of came of age in the first sort of hip-hop generation, I mean, it's not like I was, you know, like in Queens when it happened or anything. I wasn't like, not like I was kicking it with the Sugar Hill Gang or something, but I mean, You know, but people who are my age, people who are late 20s to, I suppose, you know, really early 40s, are part of that first generation. They're part of the first group of kids who grew up, you know, by the time I was 12 or 13, rap was really on the scene. So I don't really, much of my adolescence from then on, I don't remember a world without rap. I don't remember a world without hip-hop once I got to be an adolescent. When I was a kid, that didn't exist. But you've got the kids who are coming up now, kids who are like Generation Y. To them, they've never known a world where you didn't turn on MTV and 90% of the artists you saw were black, which is fine with me because they don't, there's no sort of mental division. I mean, it was to the point where when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, there was still very much a schism between people who listened to rap and people who listened to rock. It wasn't just always accepted that you could listen to both. I mean, I remember, and these are the sort of things you look back now, and the sort of factionalism seems really stupid. It seems really pointless. But a lot of you who came from similar backgrounds remember that time. You remember a time when you either listened to rock or you listened to rap. You didn't necessarily listen to both, and there were some exceptions to that. You know, there were the Beastie Boys, and there was Run DMC, but by and large, you were on one side of the fence or the other. And it's no longer that way. I mean, you know, as much as people want to sit and sort of malign things like rap rock or rap metal or whatever it is you call it, you know, things like Limp Bizkit and stuff like that. I mean, I have absolutely no problem with that. I think it's a great step forward that you have genres of music that are so interblended and so intermixed that you can't tell where one ends and the other begins now. And I think that stuff like that, and people sort of write it off and they diminish its importance in a sociological sense. But I think that sort of thing is really important, you know, for kids to grow up, you know, with a broader sense of sort of, you know, of racial harmony and all that stuff. And I think I'm making too much of it. You think that, you know, I'm overstating the impact of a Limp Bizkit record. But I'm really not, you know. That's why people were so terrified of, you know, not just Elvis, but I mean, of Chuck Berry, of Little Richard. Because they know that, you know, once that kind of stuff is out of the closet, man, there's no way to shove that back in. So you always think that your own generation is several steps ahead of your parents' generation on this sort of thing. And maybe that's the case. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just a matter of being able to sort of mask it better. But when you talk to old people, it's like they don't even bother. When you talk to people, my grandparents' generation, it's like they don't even bother to cover up the disdain they feel for everybody who's not white. You know what I mean? It's like they're just completely upfront about it. So I'd like to think that things are actually getting better, but who knows? Maybe we're just getting better about and lying about it or something. Got this, Rick. My grandfather used to ask people if they had a BM, that's a bowel movement, today. Talk about embarrassing. I guess when you get that old, you just focus on the important things. Shane, oh, God, and my grandmother, we could do an entire, I don't know if we want to turn this into a whole, my grandparents did this horrible thing, but I've told this story that we would, you know, whenever we would have a holiday dinner, it would just be a matter of time until, like, my grandmother took out her teeth. We'd be sitting there, my grandmother would decide that she was eating something that didn't really necessarily require having actual teeth inside of her head, and so she would just, right there on the table. It's like, you can carry a pouch for that sort of a thing. And you can carry some sort of a holder, some sort of a container that you could place your teeth in. No, right there on the table. That's what you're going to see when you're trying to put down a piece of grilled ham. You'll look over and see your grandmother's upper plate sitting there across the table from you. God forbid that she had something caught in her teeth, like her actual dentures. Because it's like, then out come the dentures, out comes a toothpick, and she's sitting there picking away at her incisor across the table from you while you're, you know, trying to eat bread pudding. That's a lot of fun. Anyway. What are we doing here? Good friend, the Low in Portland. What's up, man?
What's happening, man?
What do you got, brother?
Oh, no. I'm just going to give you a few, you know, mad props. Because you're right on the point here. I grew up in a small town in Michigan, and like it was strictly separated, man. And I went to like a private school where I was one of a few blacks, and it was like by the older generation, you know, the rock was kind of tolerated at that point, but rap was the enemy.
Yeah,
and they were split like right down the middle. All the white kids did rock, all the black kids did rap. And the odd thing about it is, you know, a lot of the stuff that was going on in New York when all that started, you know, a lot of the rock crowd was extremely supportive and was actually a part of it, but it's just kind of like one of those things that no one really acknowledged, and so it just kind of got forgotten.
Well, growing up in Kennewick, too, which is just, you know, people think that I have, like, some weird latent guilt about being white, and it's not really that. It's just that, You know, it's not so much that I came from a white town, it's that I came from a town just filled with rednecks and hicks, which is, you know, which is kind of not necessarily the same thing. But I grew up in a town where there was just, you'd see those bumper stickers constantly. You can't spell crap without rap.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a point to where, you know, you never have to apologize for it, whether you knew it or you didn't know it. But there were some people who were just animate about it, and it was, like, with total spite.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was people who got up every day. They would get out of bed, and as their feet hit the floor, their mission was to, you know, their mission was to stamp out the scourge of rap music everywhere.
Right.
And so, you know, all right, there you go. There's the law. I don't get the whole thing. I don't want to sit here and just be preachy guy about it. But I do think there's something to be said. And that's why no matter how much anybody wants to disparage, you know, sort of, what do they call it, new metal, with an umlaut over it for reasons known to no one. Where would we be without the umlaut in metal?
God, and that word's just great.
Metal?
Umlaut.
Oh, umlauts. Yeah, no, umlaut, I mean, that's a, I mean, I don't think that, I mean, that didn't exist in rock until Motorhead, and then Motley Crue had it, and then, of course, it's on Löwenbräu, which I think is where Motley Crue got it from. But people want to disparage new metal. They have this idea that somehow if you've got, you know, if you've got metal and rap and they mix together, then it's this thing, it's this terrible, you know, abomination that shouldn't exist. But you know what, I'm all for it, man. It doesn't, because all it does is result in a generation of kids growing up who don't necessarily see a color line between two different types of music, which is, you know, which is fine and good and dandy no matter what your parents might think about it. So, you know, and it's another way that my generation just sounds embarrassing, because every time I hear somebody who is my age start to disparage the mixture of rap and rock, you know, it just reminds me of my parents bitching about the stuff I listen to. It reminds me of my grandparents bitching about the Beatles, you know? Bunch of nonsense. All right. Hey, speaking of terrible music, though, coming up around the corner, we do have another exciting installment of Rick Emerson's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Later on this hour, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Coming up in the third hour, top five and news at Ground Zero. Stay there. We'll be back.
Portland. It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, all right. Sarah has the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon. 126 Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Goldberg and Jones Attorneys. From Joe Esterhaus, the writer behind films such as Basic Instinct and Showgirls, comes a new novel, Hollywood Animal.
It's actually not a novel. Hollywood Animal. Joe Esterhaus is, I believe, to this day, the highest paid screenwriter in Hollywood history. Yeah, he wrote Basic Instinct. He wrote Jade. He wrote Showgirls. He wrote Burn Hollywood Burn. He's a huge, just Grizzly Adams looking bastard. I know that he recently underwent them, and he had cancer, and then he got that taken care of. But he wrote American Rhapsody, which is a sort of semi-fictional, semi-non-fictional account of the Bill Clinton scandal. And Hollywood Animal is sort of a tell-all memoir of his whatever 25 odd years working in Hollywood as a screenwriter.
So, Joe, tell us why you penned two straight books, American Rhapsody and Hollywood Animal.
My own rule has always been.
Don't smoke, kids.
Write it from my heart and gut, and see what happens. You know, the reason I've written two books back
to
back.
Sounds so good. Mix it with whiskey.
Yeah, one of the reasons certainly is because I felt that that writing books was liberating and almost revolutionary to me because there was no director to fight with or no idea.
Yeah, if you ever wonder why Showgirls are sleazy, this is the man who wrote it.
Stars and studio heads.
Yeah, okay.
Why do you believe so many films today are creative disappointments?
Well,
a lot of movies, too many movies, are being made by committee. There aren't that many original screenplays anymore that go from the pen of one man to the screen. Very often today what happens is that there are five or six or eight writers on a movie.
Jesus.
And the director essentially tells them what he wants done. Well, I've never believed in writing by committee. In terms of stuff that really moves you.
It's the voice of the molesting uncle. Would you like to learn how to kiss? Look, no, mommy and daddy don't need to know about this. Come sit on your uncle Joe's lap. No. Shut the door. That's what I like. That's exactly the voice you hear in your left ear while you're being groped at age 12. That's exactly... I shouldn't laugh. That's exactly what that is, man. All right. Well, Joe Estros, he's... I don't know if you've read American Rhapsody. American Rhapsody is a fantastic book, by the way. Again, it's just sort of semi-fictionalized look at the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal. In Hollywood Animal, he apparently says... He says at one point that I guess Sharon Stone came by and gave him... How do I put this? She gave him a thank you bang, a thank you pork, for because he wrote, you know, Basic Instinct, which is, of course, her vehicle to achieve superstardom. And apparently after Basic Instinct opened at number one, he claims in the book that she just, like, came by his apartment, knocked on the door, you know, at the house one day, and he opened it, and she was, like, wearing a raincoat with nothing underneath it or something, and came in and just gave him a, you know, just gave him a little, you know, thank you for your support. Just a little bit of that. He's also the guy... Estros is also the guy, because he wrote Flashdance, too, I think. And he's also the guy who was involved in, you know, when they cast Flashdance, Demi Moore was originally up for that part. It was Demi Moore, Jennifer Beals, who's on that horrific new Showtime series, The L Word, by the way, which we can talk about later. But it was Demi Moore, Jennifer Beals, and somebody else. And so Estros and Michael Eisner, who was the head of the studio at the time, what they did is they brought in Demi Moore, Jennifer Beals, and whoever the chick number three was. They put him in, so they put him, like, in a, you know, in a room somewhere. They went down to the docks, which were about a mile and a half away, and they brought back 15 of the biggest, toughest, most blue-collar, working-class teamsters they could find. They brought them all in, they pointed to the three women, and they said, guys, which one of these girls do you want to F? And they had the guys vote, and they all picked Jennifer Beals, which is how she got the part in Flashdance. So there you go. So that's, if you ever wonder what kind of man does such a thing, that's the voice right there. That's the voice.
It's got to keep raining till Thursday. Jim Riley, KOTK News.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOT.
I'm not going to belabor the point here, but I will say it is true that one of the great things about rock and roll and rap music is that it annoys your parents. And so I'm kind of past the age where I need to annoy my parents or anything, but I do take perverse pride in the fact that so much of today's music annoys people who are my age. Because it's like, not like, I'm at 30 and it's like I'm not 16 anymore. You know, I'm not a teenager anymore, but I'm not 50. Jesus, man. You know what it is? It's not like I'm Ward Cleaver quite yet. You know? So if at age 30 you're already annoyed by all the music on the radio because it just sounds like clattering noise to you. It's like I saw this bumper sticker the other day on Hawthorne. It's right in front of Powell's, and it said, you're not getting older. The music just sucks. You know? When in fact it's exactly the opposite. I mean, that bumper sticker right there is why I hate people my own age. It's like, you know, the baby boomers at least waited until they were 40 to start pretending that they were 20 again. You know what I mean? It's like everybody in my generation's getting a head start on talking about those damn kids and their terrible music. It's just irritating. Seriously, if I ever start talking like that, I want you to take me up back and just shoot me in the goddamn head. Just take me up back and put a bullet in the base of my friggin' skull if you ever hear me. Man, these kids today with their damn... long-haired, new metal in their TRL. I don't understand it. I mean, that's totally what it is. Every time, you know what it is? It's like the Charlie Brown teacher when the teacher says, you know, Charlie Brown, turn to page 5, but all you hear, anytime you hear somebody like some Gen Xer talk about, well, I don't know, there's music today and it's rap metal and I don't know, it's just terrible and it's awful and they, whatever happened to Bananarama, you know what that really means? I'm getting old! God! You know, and it's just the sound of digging in their heels and refusing to age, which is a trait that we all loathed and loathe in baby boomers, yet which my generation already has. Here's one quick example of this. One quick example. When I was growing up in the 70s and then the 80s, there's a format that existed at the time and still does called Oldies Radio. And Oldies Radio, you know, is stuff in the 50s and 60s. It's whatever. It's the Chiffons. It's... You know, it's the Chiffons, it's Benny King, it's the Temptations, it's, you know, the Animals, it's all that. You know what Oldies Radio is? I think, what is it, Kissin' is Oldies, right? Yes, 97.1 or something. Yeah, so there's Oldies Radio. We all knew what those were. Now, growing up as a kid, that Oldies radio format consisted of songs that were 25 years old. It was music that was 20 and 25 years old. Well, you know what? I got news for you right now, friend. You turn on the radio and you're listening to Depeche Mode. You turn on the radio, you're listening to The Cure. You turn on the radio, you listen to Guns N' Roses. You listen to George Michael. You listen to Wham. Guess what? All that music is 20 to 25 years old. They are oldies. But, of course, people in my generation are already refusing to admit that they're getting any older. So we won't call that music oldies. We'll call it classic. You know what classic is? Classic is radio code for you're old. That's what it is. You're getting older. When they call something classic hits, you know, or classic rock or classic alternative, you know what that means? It means music from when you were young, which you are not anymore. Just admit it. I admitted it long ago. Man, I'm zen with it. I'm aged and becoming more so by the day, and there ain't nothing wrong with it. You just got, you know, there's nothing wrong with being older. There's just something wrong with sitting there and clinging tenaciously to your outdated youth and pretending that it's still 1989. It's not. Move on. Jesus. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Speaking of terrible music, it's time for another exciting edition of Rick Emerson's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. This comes to us from Jeff in Southeast Portland. This is the guy who's the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins enthusiast. He says, Rick, here's an MP file by an internet... an MP file. Now I sound like my grandparents.
What?
Don't... Oh, this is the Bilbo song. He says, I have some MP3 files by an internet rap group that calls themselves the Villain Thieves. They rap over pre-programmed Casio piano formats that play various hits. And they're white. Very white. And very, very bad. It also sounds as though they have Tourette's syndrome in this respect. All right, so this is, what is the name of the song? Oh, the name of this song is, what is it? It's Forever?
Together.
Together. Okay, the name of the song is Together
and
by
the MC, and this one is Poison Ivy.
MC Poison Ivy from the Villain Thieves. That's T-H-I-E-V-Z, of course. Villain Thieves Together. This is from Jeff in Southeast Portland. It's Rick Emerson's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard.
Yo, this motherfucking one goes out to Johnny D, Tony Karate of the Kinesias, and DJ Stryker. I be you. Yo, fucking. I'm back with the track that'll kick your ass. You know I'm bad and I'm mad at the latest fad. I try to be the man so understand I'm playing I can. Down in Jersey, I'm not willing to give a helping hand. I'm chilling out, smoking weed, don't bust my bubble. Girl, two at a time, uh-oh, double trouble, still the man. The villain thieves are still together, even though we're far apart. If you got a problem with the villain thieves, now I'm down with the that I never had. My thieves are gone, not for long, so I'm not too sad. Now I'm down with the that I never had. My thieves are gone, not for long, so I'm not too sad. The villain thieves are still together, even though we're far apart. If you got a problem with the villain thieves, we'll come and stab your heart.
Yeah,
we'll stab your heart. You're a big loser, but you won't be poor. I know you're f***ing loud, you motherf***ing poor. Remember Poison Ivy that all the girls adore. Go remove your wrinkles, you f***ing dinosaur. When you get me in this sack, I'm the one that's back. I treat you like a shut, let me see your rack. The $1 million smile and the 10-cent act. Moves, I'll even f*** your cat. Yo, this is Poison Ivy. I'm the man, I'm still the man. You f*** around me, I'll f*** around you. Don't f*** mess with the man. The villain thieves are still together, even though we're far apart. If you got a problem with the villain thieves, we'll come and stab your heart. We'll stab it good.
We'll stab it good.
Kick it back, back, and I'll kick your ass. I'll stab your heart like it never did before. Can you feel the top?
This is more than fast,
you know you cannot stop. I just go so bad, too bad you needed eyes. I fuck him up real good, then I fuck...
Whoa, what the hell was that? Believe that. That was poorly edited. Matthew Peterson.
Oh, come on. Do
DJ...
you know how many beeps there were in that thing?
DJ F. Matt.
Hold on.
All right. Well, go play it. Actually, roll it again from the beginning, because I'm trying to figure out something. Go ahead and hit that again from the top. Just go ahead and just roll it from the beginning there. Because it seems to me that...
One was at the Johnny D, Tony Karate of the Kinesias.
I mean, is this
DJ
like an actual existing song?
Yo, f***ing, I'm back with the track that'll kick your ass. You know I'm bad and I'm mad
like,
and the latest bad. I try to beat a man so understand that I'm playing our game.
Is this
a music? I'm not willing to give a helping hand. I'm chilling out, smoking weed, don't bust my bubble. F***ing girl, two at a time, uh-oh. Double trouble, still the man. The villain, these are still together, even though we're far apart. If you got a problem with the villain thieves, now I'm down with that I never had. My thieves are gone.
I'm pretty sure
long,
this
so
is
too sad.
By
now I'm down with that I never had. My thieves are gone, not for long, so I'm not too sad.
The villain thieves are still together, even though we're far apart. If you got a problem with the villain, we'll stab your heart.
Excellent.
You're a mega loser than you were before. I know you're f***ing loud, you motherf***ing whore. Remember Poison Ivy and all the girls adore.
Well done. All right, so we want to thank Jeff in Southeast Portland for giving us the hookup with Forever Together. What's the name of it?
Together.
Together by the Villain Thieves. Today's installment of Rick Emerson's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Connecticut. To get Jolie from the front desk up just around the corner. Later on in the third hour, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Today's top five. Top five songs with move or moving in the title. You stay there. We'll be back.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We'll gloss over the fact that I know Umbop by heart and can spot the melody when it's...
I was just looking for it. I thought you might have had it in your files.
No,
we should compare the two.
Yeah, that's exactly what we should do.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their shtick, is they just... Hold on. They call themselves... This is from Jeff. Call themselves Villain Thieves. They rap over pre-programmed Casio piano things that play various hits. So that must be it.
Yeah.
It's got to be that. Excellent. Well done.
Good
All right.
Call.
Tara's got the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Rick, modern rap is terrible. I remember the good old days of Sir Mix-a-Lot and House of Pain.
I'm chilling out, smoking weed across my bubble. Girl, two at a time. Uh-oh. Double trouble. So the man, the villain.
And the villain thieves.
Even though we're falling apart. If you got a problem with the villain thieves. Now I'm down with...
In the future, I'm going to be able to boast that I was a villain thieves fan from the old school.
Now I'm down with the
from way back.
I knew them when they were just on the underground, tip, yo.
The villain thieves are still together, even though we're far apart. If you got a problem with the villain thieves, we'll come and stab your heart.
The man might be
we'll
a stretch.
Your heart.
Yeah.
You're a bigger loser than you were before. I knew you f***ing lost, you motherf***ing whore. Remember Poison Ivy that all the girls adore. Go remove your wrinkles, you f***ing dinosaur. When you get me in the sack...
We've got a theory here about this from Mark. Rick,
let me see your rack.
That guy who's... Let me see your rack. That guy who sent me this, the guy who sent us this song, Jeff, here's a theory about him. Rick, Jeff is full of crap. The only reason he, quote, knows that the group raps over the top of Casio hits is because him or one of his stoner buddies owns it, the Casio. One night it was, hey, do you want part of this blunt? And then 30 minutes later, after the classic, once we do this, we're going to get rich speech, they're plugged into the Casio, making up horrible lyrics to Busta rhyme with. $50 says they had a bet that they would get radio play someday, and he just picked himself up a 40 sack and a pack of Marlboros. Yeah. It's Mark from, the Shug,
a.k.a. the,
or Shugle, there.
Could it be a dream? He's the one that team, we f*** until they scream. Wanna drive my home, we f***, but that's a bummer. Give me a f***ing number, you see my cucumber. You gotta
you
know...
You see my cucumber!
What's up, Johnny?
Yeah.
Go get Striker, picking up a bugger. Are we losing touch? We never lose in touch. You gotta know me, I'm Poison Ivy. Where's Johnny D? It's Tony Karate. Go with DJ Striker, picking up a bugger. Are we losing touch? We never lose in touch. Can you feel the top?
Can all right. You Ken, you're in Portland. You're a full-time listener. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Talking about getting old, I had my epiphany when I was online at the post office, and their background music was White Snake. Here I go again.
Was it like the actual original version, or was it like a Muzak version?
Oh, no, it was not. It was not the club version or the piano version. It was actually White Snake, David Coverdale, everything.
See, I remember being in an elevator about 2 years ago, and they did a double shot. They played Beth by Kiss, which is sort of an elevator song to begin with, but then they played that that Good Riddance song by Green Day, that Time of Your Life song, and it was like with the full, like, the oboe. You know,
oh,
it was
that's
all,
not working.
It was, you know, and it was all that... you know, and you just want to hang yourself. Excellent.
Hey, real quick, great job on the one-man show. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you. Much obliged. I appreciate it.
And I was pleasantly surprised. Sarah is very pretty. You need to get some better photos of her up, man. It doesn't do her justice.
She's not at all stumpy and short like the pictures make her look.
No, she's tall and slim.
Yeah.
Very striking.
That's what I'm saying. All right, there you go. That's your ass needs
to bring
a camera. I don't have a camera. You bring the camera, you know. Don't we have a promotions person now?
No, not yet.
I swear to God, I saw a memo that we had a promotions director.
We did get approved to have one, and we have the person identified, though we still don't actually have them.
I don't understand.
I have a camera. I'll bring one in tomorrow.
But let's go back to we have the person identified, and we have approval to have a promotions director,
but we don't actually have one.
We
know who the person is that we're going to hire for the position. The interviews have taken place, all that kind of stuff. But the person has not yet been put into place.
Is that a thing that's ever going to happen, or is that going to be one of those things like moving to the other building that we're sort of told is going to happen for a long time, and it just gets put off, you know, eventually, months.
It is something that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
We just don't know exactly when yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, because purportedly this is our last week in this building, too, although I've heard that 3 or 4 different times, so I'll believe it. We ought to...
People say it with a smile.
Seriously, it's just sort of in quotes now. We're going to be moving to the other building where you'll be employed to do a radio show.
I'll tell you what, we have to be out by the end of the month.
Okay.
Because our lease is up, and if we're not, the other people have already signed the new lease to start moving in.
As of right now, what is the date that this program is going to be in the new studio in the other building?
We're actually going to start doing some programming on Monday.
No, I'm talking about
this
program.
This program will be doing its first show over there as of Tuesday.
I'll bet you $5 right now that doesn't happen. We can just do a whole... Anybody else went on that action?
I'll bet $6.
Wait, do you... No, it doesn't work that way.
Oh.
No, you can't... No, we need to drop a whole...
I agree with you. What do I do?
No.
Come on, poker nerds.
All right, never mind. We'll come back.
I'm not taking action for multiple people on this. I'm not convinced that it's going to happen.
That's what I'm saying.
Unless, of course, you're giving me like 2-1.
I'll believe it when I get a key. We don't even have keys to the building.
I bet they're dropping them off on Wednesday.
Yeah, sure so they are.
I'll know by then.
All right. Yeah, I'll lay money against that right now. What's today? Tuesday? We're supposed to have keys to the building tomorrow. I'll lay anybody right now $10 that doesn't happen.
What, that we don't get them or they don't drop them off?
Yeah, by close of business tomorrow, I'll bet you one way or the other, there's no way we will have keys in hand by the close of business tomorrow.
All right, give me 5-1 odds, and I'll take your action on whether or not we're in by Tuesday.
All right. Let's see, we've got the many emails coming in about the our good friends, the thieves. Rick, just for closure, it was mbop. There's a line right where you cut it off that says, this one, mbop, you know, you can't stop. So apparently the thieves there are from that. The subject line of this one is, ain't no wing, that's for sure. Wing sort of seems to be the gold standard. Rick, he just didn't seem to have the experience of a wing. I could hear paper shuffling at the end, and he just failed to sell it. He didn't bring it on home, Rick. I don't want to piss Poison Ivy off, though. The last thing I need is him effing my cat. Dennis and the Coof. That's P.S. F. Matt with the worst song ever.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. It's our good friend Jolie from the front desk.
About time, Rick.
Yeah.
There's people out there, you know, that in the conference room that are watching my every move.
Really?
Yeah. They're coming over here and using the building.
Okay, what is it, like a highlight game or something? Who are you talking about?
Like, you know, salespeople, managers, bigwigs.
Ah, I see. All right. Oh, is there some sort of corporate shenanigans going on in the conference room?
It looks as though there is.
All right.
No, but you've got a meeting after the show today.
Is it because there's... I'm just kidding. Yeah, have they set aside a box? Like, well, we just got... Can I just read you this? Did you get that email about packing up your stuff?
Oh, did it get to you? Because I thought I didn't,
Trust me. Yeah. Those things always get to me. Let's see. Right here. This is an email that just arrived in my inbox a few moments ago. It says this. Can you let everybody there know they'll need to pack up all their personal stuff by Thursday afternoon? So
that doesn't sound good.
We will provide boxes, labels, etc. Any questions, give me a call. So there you go. That's purportedly because we're going to be moving. which I think at this point is...
If we're not moving until Monday, why are they giving us the boxes on Thursday?
Oh, I'm sure there's nothing sinister about it at all. I'm sure there's no ulterior motive there. Not at all. Hey, do we have time to do the Jolly segment here?
No, not at all.
Did you look
at the... Don't do this to me again.
All right, well, there you go. There's another exciting of How Chicks Think with Jolly from the front desk.
There's also a job posting.
Excellent.
Thing right next to it.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Did you make your business resolutions this year?
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, it's 2:01. Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Kingston Bar and Grill. The Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation is solving the problem of millions of gallons of water needlessly flushed down the drains of public bathrooms around the state. The department is replacing 21 traditional urinals with models that do not use water. In the past 2 years, park officials estimate the pilot program in 13 state parks has saved 2.5 million to 3 million gallons, an advantage in rural and desert areas where water is scarce. However, there have been concerns raised. The chemical used in at least one model poses environmental hazards, but nobody really cares. The Clackamas County Sheriff's Office getting a free building from the government. But the one-story concrete building will require some fixing. Price tag, $65,000. The Forest Grove City Council has approved paying $420,000 in damages and legal fees to settle a sex discrimination case involving the city's former human resource manager. Under the settlement, the state's city's insurance carrier will drop its appeal of a federal jury verdict in favor of Barbara Husen. Rain heavy at times today, rain tonight and tomorrow, sunshine by Thursday. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Duh.